Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, live from the Green Space today, our ground floor theater here at 160 Varick Street. And when we're doing the show from the Green Space, you can watch as well as listen as we stream live video at WNYC.org. Check it out if you want to see the faces behind the voices. And the next voice up is WNYC's Yasmin Khan, back with us now as part of WNYC's and Gothamists' Ask a Reporter series. Yaz has been answering questions that you submit about civic engagement in the election season and beyond. Some recent ones are, how can I become civically engaged without risking my immigration status? How to go about changing New York's abysmal voting laws? And how can I get a mural for an outdoor wall in my neighborhood? Build that mural. Build that mural. Yaz even brought some New York City murals for Green Space audience members and those of you video streaming to see. Go to WNYC.org. Again, there it is, WNYC.org, if you want to get onto the video stream. Hi, Yasmin Khan.
Hello, good morning.
And listeners, we'll put out three audience questions around this. Number one, how would you like to see New York's or New Jersey's voting laws change? Number two, describe a mural in your neighborhood and how it got there. And number three, tell us how you got civically or politically involved this year and what motivated you. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692 on any of those things. And Yaz, what are some of the bad things you discovered about New York State's voting law? And how should people advocate for reform?
Yeah, well, it's no secret, really, how New York is really kind of behind a lot of other states. But you may not have a frame of reference for this unless you voted somewhere else. So if you've only voted in New York, you may not realize that early voting means that in 37 other states, you can go and cast a ballot, basically, at a site before election day. It doesn't necessarily mean, mailing a ballot. I talked to a couple of friends about this, and they did not realize that you could actually go and cast a ballot somewhere ahead of election day. So that's a big one. New York does not have early voting. New York does not have same-day registration, voter registration. New York does not have automatic voter registration, which is another method of sort of basically getting people automatically registered when they interact with government agencies like the DMV or something like that. That's becoming more popular now and has shown to increase voter registration. It's like basically instead of opting in, you would have to opt out. You cannot pre-register 16 and 17-year-olds to vote, which is something that is happening in a few other states. You can, though, if you are 17 and you're going to have a birthday by November 6th, you can register to vote. There are just a lot of quirky ways that New York is sort of behind the times.
And there is a package of bills in the state legislature that is so far stuck in the state legislature that would do a lot of the things you just mentioned.
Absolutely. There was even Cuomo in his budget proposal last year, at the beginning of this calendar year, had funding for early voting. And these bills have passed the assembly, but they have stalled in the Republican-controlled Senate. You talk to Democratic state senators, and they very loudly proclaim that it's Republicans who fear that increasing voter access will basically threaten their power. And so
they block it. And it's one of the reasons that control of the New York State Senate is one of the big stories that's in play this election year. And we should mention again that under the current voting laws, this Friday is the deadline to register to vote.
That's right.
In New York State.
It's the deadline to register to vote. It's also, and this is another way that New York's voting laws are a little bananas, this Friday is the deadline to register to change your party affiliation for next year's primaries. You have to change your party affiliation almost a year in advance in New York. So it gets confusing to talk about because obviously the November 6th election, it doesn't matter your party affiliation. But if you were someone that wanted to change your affiliation to for the June primaries that just happened, or the September primaries, people learned the hard way that you had to do this really far in advance in New York.
You know who just did that this week before the deadline in New York? Michael Bloomberg.
All right.
He changed his registration to Democrat so that presumably... Are you applauding Democrats or Bloomberg? This is presumably so he can run in Democratic presidential primaries.
That's right. And this was a problem, I believe, for Donald Trump's own children. They could not vote for him in the New York primary because they had to have changed their party affiliation to Republican, and they missed the deadline, some of them, really.
Last week on Ask a Reporter, you were asked this question. I want a campaign to turn a really horrible big gray wall in my neighborhood into a mural. How can I get that process started? Now, we have some of the murals, Green Space audience. We've now put this up on the video monitors here. And again, listeners out in Radio Land, you can live stream video of this if you so choose at WNYC.org. So, Yasmin, first talk about the question in general and why you asked it. Give people time to get to the video stream, and then we'll talk about some of these cool murals.
Yeah, so this came from a listener, reader in Brooklyn. Her name is Ruth Spencer. And I loved this question because it's not just about beautifying a space, and there are a lot of parts of New York that need some sprucing up here and there. But to really create a mural in your neighborhood, you have to have a whole community-driven process. So the mural process is about kind of just getting together with your neighbors. You have to do some community organizing because a lot of people are going to be looking at murals. And you need input from people about what they want to see, about themes that they want, realized in a piece of public art. And obviously that process will vary in size depending on where the mural is. If you have a mural under, by a busy transit area, that's going to involve a larger community process, then maybe you want a mural over a community garden or something like that, and you want to talk to all the people that live in on the block to make sure that they have a say, basically.
All right. What's this mural we're looking
at right
now?
So this mural is actually part of there is a project called the New York City Mural Arts Project. It is a basically, it's part of the Department of Health, and it's the idea is to reduce the stigma around mental illness. So this is a specific type of project. Broader community participation happens, but they work with the Department of Health works with community-based organizations specifically related to mental illness. And there's usually a core group of people that come up with themes and ideas for the art, and then the larger community is brought in. So this is a mural in the Bronx. I can't tell you exactly where. The Department of Health just passed this on to me. We can look at the next one too. There are a couple of Department of Health murals in this. This mural is actually one done by an organization called Creative Artworks. There are a few different organizations that that help the community through the mural process. You can do this with an individual street artist or artist also, but there are organizations that specifically do murals. Creative Artworks is one of them. And I love this story because this is in Inwood in a place called Isham Alley. So this, does anybody know that space? So this mural is on a private wall. And for a long time, apparently, the private owner, let an artist use this wall to put up murals over the course of a few years. And about 5 years ago or so, I guess this artist put up something that was kind of provocative and offensive to some people. It was anti-corporate, anti-NYPD. So the NYPD has an anti-graffiti task force or squad or whatever. They came and painted over it in black. And this wall, it's a private wall, but it abuts city park land, this little area. So the city parks department would not let anyone cross their land to repaint something. They said, if you want a mural, you have to have a community process, basically. So they went to the community board. The Girl Scouts at one point got involved. The community board and the Girl Scouts turned to this organization, Creative Artworks, and said, do something that involves community input. They came up with this design. young people helped design and paint it and actually do the art. And the building owner, it turned out that the wall was needed so many repairs to even put paint on it. So the owner, at his own expense, fixed up the wall. And now you have this mural that really involved basically a property owner, a community board, neighbors, the Girl Scouts. And this is a pretty good example of how you... It can take a good amount of effort, but when you have a lot of people coming together, you have a project that is really representative of a community.
I want to take a phone call from a murals fan, and he's not even in New York. Here is Bill. Well, now he's in New York, in Yorkville. You're on WNYC. Hi, Bill. Bill, you there?
Oh, yeah. Brian, hi. Absolutely love your show. I'm happy I have a day off and I can listen live. And I really love the topic. I was telling your screener, I've been living between Philly, Jersey City, and New York for the past, 12, 13 years.
Uh-huh.
Philadelphia, as you and I'm sure your guest knows, has a spectacular city-funded, city-backed mural arts program. There are over 5,000 murals in the city. I really became obsessed with them at that time. And, since then, I was fortunate to live in Jersey City for a couple of years, where there's now a very burgeoning and pretty impressive now sort of city-backed program to put murals around the city and sort of some independent pushes as well. So I just wanted to mention, too, that I really love. One, I think it's really in keeping with, the community-minded and civic-oriented spirit of these things, in its greatest spirit. It's mm-hmm. on the corner of 3rd and Coles. It's a community center. There's this little sort of garage door front. When it's open, people are doing, their dance classes and yoga and things like that behind the door. Every few months, it's a small and humble mural. It changes without fanfare. My favorites have been one. It was like this really bright pastel colored thing in the dead of winter. It was nice to see that every day when I went to my car. And another one was this really surreal thing. I was telling the screener, my guess was that the artist was trying to channel like psychedelic era Beatles. There were these men in pith hats with, and there were four of them, and they had these squint faces and pointing to an imagined map of East Asia. One other, since, we're talking about New York, there's a graffiti artist named Futura Dos Mil. He's been around since the 70s. He still puts things up periodically, and on 106 Bayard, in Williamsburg, there's an amazing corner where two buildings meet, a bright, stunning orange gradient and just sort of a sea of polka dots. It's been there for years. It's been a little while since I went, but that one I think is really beautiful.
Good tips. Bill, thank you so much for checking us out. I hope you have a lot more days off so you can listen to the show. Yes, we're going to run out of time. Just tell people one more time, now that we've covered a few of the things that you've been doing in the Ask a Reporter series, how people can ask a question and what you have coming up.
Go to wnyc.org/askareporter. You can also tweet at me. And right now, in fact, right after this, I have an interview with the Department of Sanitation Commissioner to talk about litter. We want to talk about what people can do to keep their blocks tidy and to organize their neighbors to do so, too.
Cool. WNYC's Yasmin Khan.